Hello and welcome to Psychic Teachers. I'm your host, Deb Bowen.
And I'm Samantha Fay.
And as you know, we talk a lot about gratitude on this show. And we believe it really is one of the primary ways in which we connect with universal energy and with each other. Some of what we'll discuss in this week's broadcast, you've heard us say in the past. Some of it is information based on new research, and some of it is based on our own experiences and stories that you've shared with us. This week's podcast focuses on what gratitude really is and how we can incorporate it more deeply into our lives every day. When we do so, we enrich ourselves and the world around us. So sit back, take a deep breath, and let's get started. So how many times a day do you say thank you, Samantha?
All the time.
Absolutely.
I say thank you all the time. And
Me too.
I think it's important to say thank you for the little things as much as the big things, because it's the little things that end up mattering.
I agree. I mean, from a cursory, polite thanks when someone holds a door for you or hands you a cup of coffee at your coffee shop, from there to offering up deep, sincere expressions of gratitude for gifts in your life and for life itself. The kind of thanks that sends you deep within yourself to examine the intentions of your heart. And I think that having an awareness of saying thank you is really important every day. And that's just my opinion on that. And to truly, deeply express gratitude to someone else requires us to do more than to say the words. It requires us to also feel a deep sense of caring and connection, to both return the kindness we've been given and then to pass it on to other people. So with that in mind, there's been lots of research. You and I both did some extensive research for this episode. There's been a lot of research conducted on the definition of gratitude, of how and why it does or does not aid us in feeling and acting better in our lives, and how it affects the recipient of our gratitude. You know, one of my favorite books, and I think one of yours too, Samantha, is Dr. Masaru.
Mm-hmm.
So remember Dr. Emoto's research on the influence of words on water, particularly in his groundbreaking book entitled The Hidden Messages in Water. His theory was really very simple. The vibrations of words impact water crystals in positive or negative ways. He maintained that the words with the highest, most positive vibrations influencing water crystals to form exquisite patterns were the words thank you, or grateful, or gratitude. Now, in all fairness, his work has been debunked by detractors over the years who call it pseudoscience. However, we probably have a different perspective on that. You want to tell people about that?
Yeah. So for anyone who maybe hasn't read Dr. Emoto's work, he was a Japanese scientist who used his experiments with water to prove that our thoughts, words, and intentions materialize in our physical world. So he used magnetic resonance analysis technology and high-speed photographs to show how water exposed to happy, loving, positive thoughts and words result in beautiful physical molecular formations in the water. But water exposed to negative and cruel words yields disjointed, fragmented, and jarring formations. He even did experiments on polluted water to show how prayer and the use of positive words and intentions can change the molecular structure of the polluted water. For example, Dr. Emoto took photos of water from the Fujiwara Dam before and after a chief priest spent an hour praying over it. He continued his experiments to show how positive sound can also affect incredible change on water. When water was exposed to classical music like Mozart Symphony No. 40, the water formed into beautiful snowflake shapes. But when the water was exposed to heavy metal music, it twisted into a dull, disjointed circular shape. Because we humans consist mainly of water, his work naturally leads us to ask the question, how are our thoughts and words affecting our own molecular structure? He wrote in his book, water records information, and while circulating throughout the earth distributes information. This water sent from the universe is full of the information of life. And then on November 16th, 2005, Dr. Emoto and his team conducted a study with 2,000 people in Tokyo that focused long-distance positive intentions on water samples held in a double steel-walled electromagnetically shielded room at the Institute of Noetic Sciences in California. According to the study published by Dr. Dean Radin in 2006, Dr. Emoto led the participants in prayer of gratitude directed toward the water in the ION's laboratory some 5,000 miles away. They prayed over digital images of the bottled water for about 5 minutes. Then the photographs of the water molecules were taken. Finally, about 100 volunteers evaluated the photographs based on aesthetic appeal. Basically, they wanted to see which water molecules were perceived as beautiful and pleasing and which ones were not. Both the prayed over water and untreated water were included. The results reinforced the idea that water treated with pleasant intentions, such as prayer, result in more pleasing crystal shapes than water that did not receive this treatment. And you know, you can even do this yourself. You can do this with a jar of rice. I think I've shared on the show years ago, I did this with my kids. We took clear glass mason jars and we just filled them with some rice and a little bit of water. And on one, we wrote, I love you. And on the other one, we wrote, I hate you. And we took photographs of it every couple of days. And it was crazy. At the end of 7, 8, 9 days, the negative rice and water combination formed this glob of mold. And the one that had I love you was just as beautiful and pretty as the first day we poured it in there. I think it's nice to do your own studies on this rather than just hearing like, oh, I think that might work. When you see it for yourself, it's really amazing.
It really is. And you know, for a while there, Samantha, we bought stickers. You could find stickers that said things like, I love you and thank you and that sort of thing. And people would paste them on their water bottles, you know, and I love that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I have any of those left, but I'm sure they're still around somewhere. So fascinating idea of just saying thank you. And I remember in his book, The Hidden Messages of Water, the photographs are just breathtaking. And the photograph of the water crystal where the word gratitude was given to that crystal, it looks like, I don't even know the right language to talk about the intricacy and the beauty of that particular picture. It was just amazing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of the prettiest pictures in the whole book.
I think so too. So whether or not scientific research bears out Emoto's work, our philosophy is real simple. An expression of gratitude can't hurt. On the other hand, researchers with some really strong academic credentials are studying gratitude and coming up with some stunning results. Harvard Health Newsletter reported a study conducted by researchers from the University of California and the University of Miami working together, in which two groups were asked to write a sentence or two each day for a few weeks about particular topics. At the end of the study, the group that focused on gratitude reported being far more optimistic, had fewer doctor visits, and generally reported feeling better about their lives. A University of Pennsylvania researcher also was referenced in the article for his work in asking subjects to write letters of gratitude to someone to whom they owed thanks. Subjects reported significant increase in happiness after completing this exercise. Benefits associated with gratitude include better sleep, more exercise, reduced symptom of physical pain, lower levels of inflammation, lower blood pressure, and a host of other things we associate with better health, says Glenn Spox, who's an expert in the science of gratitude at the University of Southern California Marshall School of Business. He says the limits to gratitude's health benefits are really in how much you pay attention to feeling and practicing gratitude. His research interests now lay in how gratitude manifests itself in the brain, which I think is just fascinating that there can be empirical evidence for this. The positive emotion of gratitude is a counterpoint to negative or maladaptive emotions, of course, such as anger, fear, anxiety, stress. Gratitude helps us cope with those emotions, the researcher said. And Fox said, gratitude is such a key function of our social lives and our evolution as a species. people who did not develop gratitude or grateful relationships with others found it very unlikely they would have survived in a social context. So the notion is that over the evolution of time, there had been the necessity to be kind and grateful to people in your social world who helped you and supported you, and you returned the favor. So if we look at that notion of social context, where do we come to? We come to the Day of Thanksgiving. And other experts in that USC research said that building connections with others through gratitude is a critical part of thriving, a cornerstone, of course, of the Thanksgiving tradition. And the researcher goes on to say, there's something wonderful about getting together with people and being thankful. So you may not be able to be with your family or loved ones, but it may be a time to be brave and ask other people to get together. Doesn't have to be fancy, and just talk about what you're thankful for. Gratitude has spiritual overtones, of course, for many people, but not for all. While offering thanks to a deity or a spiritual source is important to some, others find that acknowledgement of recognizing positive aspects of the world around them works equally well. And Jim Berklow, who is the senior associate head at the University of Southern California Office of Religion and Spiritual Life, says that whether you embrace a spiritual, religious, or secular approach to feeling grateful, practicing gratitude reflects a recognition that the positive things in life have a source beyond ourselves. To be grateful is to express a personal relationship with that source, he says, whether understood as an anthropomorphic deity or as the cosmos, the universe, or the greater world. And that's a profound thing.
It really is. And you know, that's how I think the tradition of Friendsgiving has taken off.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, where just a bunch of friends get together and celebrate Thanksgiving together and share why they're thankful for one another. I love that new tradition.
Oh, I do too. And in fact, in my world, I'm having blessed to have several Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving, family giving events.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's wonderful, you know?
Yeah, I do too. All right, let's take a quick break to mention our fabulous sponsor for this week's show. And when we come back, we'll talk about some practical steps you can take to embark on your own gratitude practice. This week, we're sponsored by Storyworth, one of the most innovative gift-giving companies out there. If you want to give a gift to your loved ones that makes them feel special and unique, while also learning about your family's history, then give them the gift of Storyworth. It's an online service that helps you and your loved ones preserve precious memories and stories for years to come. It's a thoughtful and meaningful gift that connects you to those who matter most. Every week, Storyworth emails your relative or friend a thought-provoking question of your choice from their vast pool of possible options. Each unique prompt asks questions you've never thought to ask, like, what's the bravest thing you've ever done in your life? Or, if you could see into the future, what would you want to find out? And they can upload photos too. For example, for the question, who was your best friend growing up? They could include a photo of that person. Or if you send them the question, what was your favorite vacation? They can upload a photo from that trip. After 1 year, Storyworth will compile all your loved ones' stories, including the photos, into a beautiful keepsake book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. Reading the weekly stories helps connect you with your loved ones no matter how near or far apart you are. I gave Storyworth as a gift to a friend and her mom, and she's learning all sorts of cool things about her mother. She never knew, for example, that her grandmother served in World War II offering dances and writing letters to soldiers, and that's how she met her first love. Storyworth helps you discover amazing facts and tidbits about your family that might not come up in ordinary conversation. With Storyworth, you can give a thoughtful, personal gift from the heart and preserve your family's memories and stories for years to come. Go to storyworth.com/psychicteachers to save $10 off your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/psychicteachers to save $10 off your first purchase.
What a lovely idea.
I know, it really is. I've given it as gifts, and I actually did it for myself too, and just put it away so that my kids can have it when I'm older. So it's just a nice thing because it does force you to think about questions you'd never really sit and ask and think about. It makes you be very, very reflective. So I think it's a really cool idea.
You know, now that I'm old, I really wish that I had asked my grandparents a zillion questions. That, of course, when you're young, you don't think to ask. And now there's no way to find out the answer to some of them.
So, I know. And, you know, you hear people say that so many times, and I totally understand it. And I think things like StoryWorth is a good excuse. I don't know if that's the right word to ask those questions, because I know I was a curious kid and I would ask questions like, well, how did this happen? Or how did you guys meet? Or, and, oh, that's a story for another day. You know, I'd get that a lot. Whereas with something like this, they kind of have to answer it.
Right. Yeah. I love the idea. So let's talk about, after we've done all this research and theory and so forth, what does this mean for us in our lives every day? How do we begin to cultivate a consistent practice of gratitude? So here are some suggestions. Practice active gratefulness by mindfully giving back each day in any way you can. This is just giving a nice tip to your server, saying a kind word to an angry customer service person, sending a card to a friend, mailing an angel letter, letting a car into your lane where we live, that's a really nice gift. Sending a small gift to someone in a nursing home, donating diapers or food to your local shelters. You know, in the little town I live in, Samantha, there's this lovely woman who asks people to send cards to people in a nursing home nearby. And somehow or another, she had connected with someone she knew in England not long ago, and she got hundreds of cards to be available to be sent to people in that nursing home. I thought, what a lovely thing to do. That seems to be
her really is. Life.
I know, it's lovely. And Samantha has created this lovely idea that she calls discovering forgiveness through the power of grace. And it certainly brings to mind the idea of gratitude and how we go about really taking care of ourselves and our relationships every day. You want to talk about that, Samantha?
Sure. So it's an acronym, GRACE, and the G stands for gratitude. And that's where you just meditate on the blessings in any situation, especially a difficult one. Maybe focusing on how you've grown and some lessons you've learned. Focus on how this situation has empowered you and helped you discover yourself. And the R stands for respect. Respect the enormity of a situation you're in and give yourself time to process all the emotions. Don't just move on or push it down. Neither should you diminish the situation. You've got to give yourself time to feel your feelings. Validate your emotions before you can transform them into positive ones. The A stands for accept. Accept the reality of a situation you're going through. Don't fight, ignore, complain, or defend it. Simply accept what has happened and the healing can then begin. And the C stands for create. Create new opportunities for yourself. Get out, reach out, give, and serve. And the E stands for enlist help. Ask for help from friends, family, and your prayer life. And all of these together really do help you cultivate an appreciation for yourself, your experiences, and the people around you. And luckily, science really does back all of this up. In Dean Radin's book, Real Magic, we've talked about on the show before, great, great book. He writes about studies they conducted at the Noetic Institute on eating blessed food with gratitude. For example, they did a study where participants were asked to mindfully and gratefully eat a piece of dark chocolate at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. each day. Okay, that would be no problem for me.
I would love to have been in that study.
Me too. They were then told to journal their moods throughout the week. The chocolate was divided into four groups. So one batch of chocolate was blessed by a senior Buddhist monk. The second group of chocolate was blessed by experienced meditators, and the third was blessed by a Mongolian shaman, and the fourth batch of chocolate was not blessed and served as the control for the study. What they found was that by the end of day three, the groups who ate the blessed chocolate mindfully and with gratitude reported a significant improvement in their mood and general well-being with odds against chance of 24-1.
Wow. Have you ever done that exercise in mindfulness where and I've done this with groups, where you're given an M&M, for example, and your job is to put it in your mouth and just focus on your relationship with that piece of candy in your mouth.
Yes.
And the mindfulness of that and how that changes your whole perspective on so much.
Yes, it really does. Anything I feel we do with mindfulness and gratitude changes our perspective. I mean, I was just walking the dogs this morning and thinking about this show we were going to do and just looking around me with gratitude. And right by this one area, I call it the dog texting area because it's like just this stump of a tree and all the dogs pee there. And so I always have to stand there forever and let them communicate with the other dogs in the neighborhood. And I always see this pine tree. And you know how I feel about pine trees, Deb. They're just everywhere where I live. And I see behind it a magnolia tree. And it's huge. And I've walked past this area, I don't know, twice a day, every day for years. Never did I notice that magnolia tree hiding behind this giant pine tree. And I just thought, gosh, when we just take a moment, instead of racing through our day, like walk the dogs, check, record a show, check. When we just say, okay, I'm going to be so grateful that I have this opportunity this morning where I can walk the dogs and just be silent with my thoughts, we notice things differently.
We do. Absolutely true. You know, I know I've talked about this on the show before, but for a long time now, my morning routine is when I open my eyes in the morning, I try that thing that you suggested from your book of not moving, which is helpful, but then stuff fades away. So I'm still working on that. But in any case, I do lay there for just a minute and I take a long, deep breath and I just say, thank you. Those two words are thank you for taking care of me during the night. Thank you for letting me wake up. Thank you for the day ahead. Thank you, thank you, thank you for a zillion things are wrapped up in those two words. And I do the same thing after I turn out the light at night when I'm in bed and I'm just settling down to go to sleep. I say thank you yet again. And just that helps a lot, I think, for me.
Yeah, it really does. Why don't you tell us about some gratitude exercises you found in your research?
Okay. So one suggestion was to write a thank you note. You can make yourself happier and nurture your relationship with another person by thanking them, writing a letter like on a piece of paper, or emailing your appreciation for that person's impact on your life. Send it, or better yet, deliver and read it in person if possible. I think that might be a little scary, but you know, I think it's a good idea. Make a habit of sending at least one gratitude letter a month. And every so often, write one to yourself. Ooh, I think that would be the hardest of all. I don't know, but it's a great idea. Thank someone mentally. It may help just to think about somebody who has done something nice for you and send out kind of a thought form to them to mentally thank them. I can't tell you how many times we have suggested this. Keep a gratitude journal. Make a habit of writing down the gifts you receive every day. And then count your blessings. Pick a time every week to sit down and write about your blessings. Reflect on what went right, what you're grateful for. Sometimes it helps to pick a number, such as 3 or 5 things that you can identify each week. As you write, be specific and think about the sensations you felt when something good happened to you. I think that's a lovely idea. And then if you are a praying person, certainly use prayer, as I have suggested, to cultivate gratitude. And mindful meditation, you knew this was coming, everybody, involves focusing on the present moment without judgment. Although people often focus on a word or a phrase, such as peace, it is also possible to focus on what you're grateful for. The warmth of the sun, a pleasant sound. For me, it's that late night standing on the deck and hearing the ocean. That is such a sign of peace and for something for which I'm very grateful. So you might want to consider that.
Great ideas.
They are nice ideas. So Samantha, before we share some of our daily gratitude practices, we want to take a minute to tell you all about some great classes and events that Samantha and I have coming up. Samantha, you want to go first?
Sure. Thursday, December 8th, I'm teaching a webinar on using pendulums in psychometry to enhance your intuitive development. So if you're looking to work with psychic tools and learn some practical exercises for honing your intention, please join me for this class. It will be taught live on Zoom, and then the recorded version will be emailed to you the next day. So even if you can't make the live version, you can still participate. I also have a class on how to manifest coming up in January, and my next Be Your Own Psychic course starts in February. So don't forget to sign up for my newsletter at SamanthaFay.com to learn more. How about you, Deb?
So here's what I've got coming, Samantha. This coming Monday, tomorrow, November 21st, my newsletter comes out. And you can see that also on my website, DebBowen.com. And it's filled with information about sales that I am running between now and the December holidays for my e-course booklets, for my reports for numerology and animal guide readings. So lots of sales going on in my world over the next few weeks. And in addition to that, if you have taken my Unlocking the Mysteries of Tarot introductory course, I'd love to have you join me in January for the Deeper Mysteries of Tarot. That's in my advanced class. And I'm also offering a new course in working with Cronehood and Wisdom in January. The details of that on my website as well. And in February, I'll go back to my Unlocking the Mysteries of Tarot course as well. So lots of things coming up. All of that on my website, DebBowen.com, and in my newsletter. And the button to click on my newsletter sign up is at the bottom of the homepage of my website.
Perfect. Okay. So let's talk about some things you and I do every day to really cultivate this, I hate to say attitude of gratitude, because I feel like that's thrown around so much, but just this mindfulness. One of my favorite ways to express gratitude is to practice spiritual tithing. This is the idea of giving back each week to the person or institution that filled you up spiritually. So at the end of the week, you ask yourself, what or who uplifted me spiritually this week? If your best friend cheered you up, then consider giving him or her a little gift or making a nice meal. If your pastor or rabbi gave a great uplifting talk, consider giving him or her a gift certificate to a restaurant with a nice thank you card. Or if your waiter made you laugh at lunch today, give them a really extra generous tip. It's a wonderful way, rather than just writing a check to, you know, your religious institute each week, to really be mindful about who you're grateful for this week. It really does help you focus on the minutiae that makes our life so meaningful. The little things, the little, you know, the friendly waiter, the friend who remembered to text you good luck today when you had something exciting or nervous coming up. I think all of that is so important.
I do too. Those are lovely ideas. A friend recently shared this simple, lovely grace from Marquette University. And I plan to share a similar version of it at the Thanksgiving meals that I'll have this year. I just think this is so pretty. This is the quote: for food in a world where many are hungry, for faith in a world where many walk in fear, for friends in a world where many walk alone, we give you humble thanks. O Lord, amen, is the way the prayer reads.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that lovely?
That really is. I love that. You know, I think it's a great idea too for any of our listeners who have little ones at home to really get them involved and demonstrate and teach them how to be grateful. Because I do think for many of us, this is a learned skill. So for example, for years, I've had a book that I keep in the sideboard and I pull out at dinner most nights and I date each page and we all share one thing that made that day really special. And it's just really fun to go through those older books and read what my kids said when they were little and watch it progress into their teen years. But it also helps to shift our mindset after a bad day or just an average ordinary day so that we can see and give voice to the beauty in each day. I flipped through some of the older books when we were talking about doing the show and listened to some of these, Deb. So one of my girls wrote, "I'm thankful I was chosen as line leader today." And that just really brought back their childhood when, like, the littlest things, like you get to lead the line to recess, it would make their whole day. Another one wrote, "I'm so happy Mrs. Schmidt moved my seat and I don't have to sit with the boys anymore."
Because boys have cooties at that age.
That's right. Another one said, "I'm happy Mrs. Peters gave us candy at the Dr. Seuss parade." And Olivia wrote, "I'm so happy I lost two whole teeth today." I don't even remember her losing two teeth in one day. So it's helpful for that too. So as you can see, these are not groundbreaking moments, but it is helping children to look for the good in their day and to really be mindful that in every day there is something to be grateful for. And I always try at the holidays to kind of make my kids be a little grateful. You know, I think we sometimes, because Christmas sometimes, the meaning and the point of any holiday that you're celebrating, whether it's, you know, Thanksgiving or Hanukkah or Christmas or any of the wonderful holidays that go on in the next coming months, sometimes the meaning of these special occasions gets left out and it's all about the presents and the gifts and the cards and the decorations. So I always try to do something each year. One year we had all their friends over and I just bought a bunch of felt from the fabric store and we made those really simple knot blankets, you know, where you cut the fringe and you tie the little knots and the two pieces of felt together. And we donated those to the pet shelter. Another year we had a bunch of friends over and we put together just different food bags and supplies of water that they could give out at the homeless shelter. Another year we collected toiletries to give to the Talston Center. There's little things that you can do that just help us be mindful. The angel tree that usually goes up at different malls and sometimes at different churches and you can pull an angel and see what a child needs. I think that's a great thing to do to be mindful of all that you have to be grateful for and that you have so much to give as well. I think all of those practices, not only do they cheer us up, like it feels so good to do stuff like that, but it also helps to remind us that we do have something to give.
Absolutely true. You know, I don't know whether or not this is still being done, but there was a time when there were big box stores like Kmart and some of those kind of places where families could go put toys on layaway and pay on them to get them out for Christmas, you know. I don't even know if the layaway thing is still a thing, but I know that you and I have a mutual friend who that's one of the things that this person did every year, was he would go to Kmart and he would pay off layaways for several families and anonymously.
You know, yeah, absolutely. That's so beautiful. And I think there's something extra special when it's done anonymously, you know?
Absolutely. So yes, but you know, I do need to say this. While obviously this is the gratitude time of the year here in the United States, and certainly Canada, I think, has just had a Thanksgiving time over there. One of the things that is important to me is to remember that this is a daily, year-long process. I remember being in high school and member of my church youth group, and my church youth group decided to give a Thanksgiving basket to this elderly woman in our community, which was nice and probably had been done every Thanksgiving for this woman. And I said to our elderly youth group leader, "What does this lady eat the rest of the year?"
That's the social worker in you. It was there from the beginning.
It's a long thing. And she looked at me and she said, "Then we will feed her all year." And to my knowledge, until that woman died, that youth group did that. They kept her in groceries all year long.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
You know, sometimes we just have to be that ray of light for people, you know, and just shine a light and say, "You are not alone and we are here for you." And I do think it's important to do these things, not only to just remember how connected we are, but also to pass on some beautiful traditions so that future generations can remember this as well. I was so excited. My daughter's first year at college, she sent me a picture. So every year I've posted it on our social media pages a couple of times through the years. I get a big roll of that brown parchment packing paper and I cut out a tree and I get construction paper and cut out leaves and I have them in a basket on my dining room table. And so throughout the month of November, my kids are encouraged and I do it too. We write down something we're grateful for each day and we put it up on our tree. And, you know, as my kids entered their teen years and I'm still trying to continue all these traditions, I did get a lot of eye rolls. And sure enough, my daughter's away at college and she sends me a photo. She and her roommates created their own gratitude tree and put it up on the door of their dorm. I can't tell you how happy that made me, you know, that they're still continuing that and thinking about what they're grateful for. And, you know, now she's in her third year of college and I can't believe that, but she's still doing that. So I think, you know, those of us who, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? So many of us are busy and caught up and we're not able many times to even think about others because there's so much stress and chaos going on in our own lives, right? And so while I totally agree, Deb, that we need to be doing these every day throughout every year, even if we sometimes can only muster up enough energy and strength to do it 1 month a year, that's something.
This is true.
You know, and maybe it'll move and grow and feel good. And then we'll be able to do it in December and then in January and, you know, and so on and so on. But I just think it's a wonderful thing to at least try.
I do too. So Samantha, let's wrap up with a couple of quotes that I love and some book suggestions, shall we?
Sure.
Ralph Waldo Emerson, who we think most of us love, said, "Cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to you, and to give thanks continually. And because all things have contributed to your advancement, you should include all things in your gratitude." I think that's a great reminder that there's things that sometimes we, in retrospect, realize that we're grateful that happened, that at the time they didn't feel so good. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And Eckhart Tolle says in his A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, he says, "Acknowledging the good that you already have in your life is the foundation for all abundance."
That is so true.
It is true, isn't it? And then finally, this researcher that we've been talking about, Reverend Jim Berklow, who's the senior associate head at the University of Southern California Office of Religion and Spiritual Life, says, "To say thank you to someone is to humble yourself. To recognize that you don't have it all, you didn't create it all. By humbling ourselves, we elevate our humanity."
I love that. Okay, and some books we'd like to recommend: A Year of Simple Abundance by Sarah Van Breathnach. Super huge bestseller in the 90s, but it's still out there. And it's a great book that walks you through the year so that you can be focused, as we were saying before, on being in this energy of gratitude, not just in November, but all year long. Robert Emmons and Joanna Hill have a great book called Words of Gratitude for Mind, Body, and Soul. Deb was talking earlier about writing thank you notes. Well, John Kralik decided to write thank you notes every day for, I believe it was a whole year. And he wrote a book about it called A Simple Act of Gratitude: How Learning to Say Thank You Changed My Life. Janice Kaplan wrote The Gratitude Diaries: How a Year Looking on the Bright Side Can Transform Your Life. And then Oliver Sacks has a compilation of some essays he wrote on gratitude while he was going through an incredibly difficult time that is simply called Gratitude. It's a short little book, but a very, very powerful one. So we will post these on our Facebook page as well, but just some great little books to kind of cap off and get you thinking about the powerful beauty of being grateful. And as we close out, of course, we want to say it once again, as we hope we remember to say more often, how grateful we are to all of you for being with us throughout all of these years, through all of the changes and the growth that Deb and I have gone through, and helping us and all of us listening here to be the light truly for ourselves and others. So we are very, very grateful to you all.
We can't say it enough. It is absolutely true. We thank you so very much for being so connected with us. We are oh so grateful.
Thank you guys so much. We hope you have a great week. And if you're celebrating, happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everyone.
listening to Psychic Teachers, a podcast for seekers, light workers, mystics, and magical thinkers. If you enjoy the show, please tell a friend and take a moment to leave us a review on iTunes. You can also find us on iHeart, Spotify, Podcast Addict, Google Podcast, Podbean, and more. Thanks for listening.